Hey guys, I'm Christian Kennedy.
I'm Will Lubroff.
So we have this new podcast thing going.
City Life, it's called?
City Life. And today on the show, we're interviewing Nat Alder, who is a co-editor of the internet for the newspaper. So, let's get right to it, gang.
Tell us, Nat.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
Quite welcome. Now, tell us, where do you, let's just start with...
Where are you from?
Yeah, where are you from?
This has been a mystery to me.
I was born in El Salvador, which is a little country next to Honduras in Central America. And shortly thereafter, I was moved to San Antonio, Texas for 5 years. And then I went to Tegucigalpa, Honduras for 7, and then Bogota, Colombia for 3, and then now I'm back in Iowa City.
So how's it feel to be back in America?
It feels weird, you know? Do you guys, like, eat cereal from a bowl and eat forks and spoons? No, it's fine. I like it. I don't know. The people are definitely different. They're a lot less nice, I guess, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just the way Americans have, like, evolved and been raised. They just have their own, they're, like, in their own private, like, bubble of, like, being, you know, politically correct and, you know, not being adventurous in who they talk to and who they branch out to. So that's a definite difference. But, you know, it's fine. I like it.
What would you say was the most shocking difference you noticed when you came back to America?
People had toilets.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Cinnabon.
It was definitely, I don't know. The people were definitely different. They acted differently. Obviously they spoke a different language. I guess, you know, product placement has become like so ingrained in American culture that it's like past the point of even us even being able to make fun of it. Like, I don't know, when you get to the States and you see like Apple iPhone all over the place, it's like a crazy thing that it's not just being advertised. People are talking about it. It's in like day-to-day conversations. And like, I don't know, America has just become this like so product focused world as opposed to like, you know, other countries I've been to where, yeah, products are a big deal, but, you know, culture is just as big a deal. Whereas here in America, you know, products and commerce are culture. So.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So, obviously, your first language is English.
Yeah.
And so, what were the conditions that you moved to Latin America?
My parents both met in El Salvador because they were journalists covering the civil war there. And then my mom eventually went on to get promoted, and she got a new job with AID, which is basically where people like my mother will go to disaster-stricken countries and help them out with rebuilding houses and, you know, making sure food is getting delivered to the right places. So she went there to Honduras because they had a hurricane in the mid-90s and never quite recovered for that. So that's essentially why we moved. And my dad took little jobs on the side doing, like, reports for newspapers in the States on, like, prisons in Honduras because Honduras has a fairly large gang population. So he would do lots of reports. I just remember him showing me pictures of, like, ex-gang members showing their eyeballs to the camera, like their severed eyes. It's like really ridiculous stuff. But yeah, so that's pretty much why I was living there for so long.
When you first moved to Latin America, did you speak Spanish?
No. When I lived in El Salvador, I was a baby, pretty much a toddler. So I only spoke very few words of Spanish. That eventually all went away when I was 5. By the time I was 5, when I moved to Honduras, and they pretty much put me in a Spanish class, which with the rest of the Honduran kids, and I pretty much just took it up from there. You know, it helps to learn a language when you're immersed in it, and it's all around you. that can definitely help. So that helped me learn faster than, say, like somebody who's learning it in a high school where it takes 4 years to achieve fluency.
Hmm. So going back to what you said earlier about your parents working in pretty, like your dad working in not necessarily like the safest environment,
mm-hmm.
like, How was day-to-day life? Did you go out on the street and, like, worry about getting shot? Or was it not that bad, or kind of, like...
No, you know, there's always the danger of getting mugged or something, but that was never really a reality for us. It's not like we were even living in, like, the safest neighborhood possible, but no, it was just day-to-day life. You know, take the school bus, get to school, you know, it's... You know, the environment was a little crappy, it was a little dirty. I think, like, the biggest brush with... that kind of crime that I experienced personally was one night I was sleeping and there was a horseback riding like ranch next to our house. And there was like, did I say that wrong? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Well, and there was like a gang shootout and I just remember hearing gunfires and people screaming and it was definitely really traumatizing, but it's, you know, not something more than you'd probably find in Iowa City because it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing that you experience. But that was probably the extent of any danger I ever faced when being in Latin America.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's pretty interesting, I guess.
Oh, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Especially when you're, like, 8 or however
yeah.
old I was and your parents are trying to convince you that it's not real, that you're just dreaming. But no, I was an investigative kid. I talked to the guards and they're like, yeah, you heard that? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, you shouldn't have heard that. I'm like, well, it's a gunshot, it's pretty loud.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so at what age did you move to Iowa City?
Oh crap. It was 2010, so I'm 17 now, so it must have been when I was 15.
Okay. And you were must have been a sophomore then?
No, I remember moving in at end of second try of my freshman year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, like, schools, how do they compare here and then Latin America?
They're a lot different.
Okay.
The first school I went to in Honduras was not very big at all. It had about 180 total students, about 18 kids per grade.
Wow.
In Colombia, it was a lot bigger. It was, you know, like... 1,200 students. How big is it at City High?
1,200.
Yeah.
1,200, 1,300.
But that was for a whole school. It
okay,
was,
yeah.
like, one big school connected. So, yeah, City High is technically the biggest school I've been to, population-wise. But in Colombia, it was, like, physically the biggest school. It amassed, like, I don't know, like, almost half a mile worth.
Wow, so it's like a...
It's huge. It's sprawling. And it was a nice school, and a lot of it is outside, and the classrooms are pretty crappy, but, you know, on the outside there's a lot of trees and a lot of green. The high altitude of Bogota really sucks, because when you're walking up the stairs, especially if you're not used to it, there are a lot of stairs there, and it's already high altitude, you get out of breath really easily.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, it didn't help that I was, like... mega overweight, even more so than I am now, so that definitely didn't help me going up 4 stairs and, like, collapsing due to exhaustion. But other than that, I mean, bigger differences involved, I guess, classes that we took. With math, we didn't have a specific geometry or algebra or anything like that. We mostly just, you know, did little bits and pieces of everything. Which, that really screwed me over when coming to City High, because I was essentially stupid. I should have, you know, taken, like, the lowest form of math ever, and I kind of just went with it and went into Algebra 2 and got pretty bad math grades, and that was probably my biggest mistake as a high schooler. But, yeah, so classes are different. Teachers are probably very similar. You have good teachers and bad teachers, mm-hmm. like always. But, yeah, that's, I mean... The food was definitely different. The food was definitely better down there. Good food. But yeah.
Like, so when did you join newspaper? Little Hawk.
I joined Little Hawk my junior year, which was last year. It was a really good time to join because that was kind of the first year of, like, the Little Hawk's resurgence into, like, quality reporting and, like, design. So I joined in, like, just, like, the perfect amount of time, I think. I joined because I was friends with, you know, like, Max and Gabe and Mikael, and they're all really into doing the paper, so they convinced me to join. And I really love to write, so that's pretty awesome. And my parents used to be journalists, so
yeah.
it seemed like a very fitting environment for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, I guess, can you kind of describe your transcendence, I guess, being web editor?
I started out as a reporter last year, did a lot of stories, just simple news stories, did a few opinions. I formed a really nice friendship with John Myers, who was the web editor last year, because I loved writing movie reviews, and there just wasn't really a space to put movie reviews in the paper, so I ran them in the website, and pretty well received, you know, like 2 or 3 hits a year. That's not that bad.
Nice. Good job, man.
Sarcasm. But it was just the web was a good place that I liked to, you know, go and do my own thing at, and we could be more creative. And so I learned a lot from John. He taught me a lot of stuff, and we used to go to quite a few journalism conventions together. And on our last one in Seattle, we had talked about, you know, who passing the torch on to who, and there was a lot of talk. And I know my friend Max, who was the executive editor last year, wasn't really especially content with all the work that involved going into it, and he had rather do a more fun position, and I suggested, why don't you just be a co-web editor with me? And so John gave us the go-ahead to be co-online editors, and we're having a lot of fun with it. Max is doing superbly well with getting stories up and writing a lot of stories, and we're having a lot of entertaining things, you know, new podcasts, so that's really freaking awesome. And we were Pacemaker finalists last year for the website, so that was really fun. Didn't quite win one, but
it's okay, we'll get them next time.
Yeah, we got this year. We got San Francisco, so.
Well, great. Yeah. So, that just about wraps it up. Thanks for joining us, guys.
You're welcome.
Rena, Nat, it's a pleasure interviewing you.
It's a pleasure to be here, fellas.
Yeah. And,
best of luck with your endeavors.
Thank you. And, you know, so what are your plans for the future, man?
Probably going to get a job at Chuck E. Cheese. I really like those ball pits with, like, you know, the different colored balls.
It's
good,
really fun.
Good benefits, I hear, too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry, it's fun. You get to keep whatever you find in the ball pit, right?
Yeah.
You get a good start on your 401k.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm looking at different schools right now. I want to study film really badly. It's been my dream since I was a wee bit of sperm to you know, make movies. So hopefully that can happen. So I'm looking at a bunch of different film schools, but we'll see.
Cool.
Maybe I'll just trek, like walk through Asia or something.
Cool.
Find the Lord of
then
the
write
Rings.
A book.
Then write a book. About.
There is your 401k, right?
Yeah.
Alright, well, that's all we got, and don't you go changing.